Just want to say that a lot of you guys out there, real men wear pink on Mother's Day. Just so you know. All right. There was a Mother's Day card, and on the front it read, Mom, I remember that little prayer that you used to say to me every day. And when he opened the card inside, it read, God help you if you ever do that again. Anybody built their own home? Anybody remodeling a church? So when it comes to those things, there are a few principles that you understand. It'll take more time than you planned. It'll cost you more money than you figured. It'll be messier than you anticipated. And it will require more patience than you thought possible. And so building a home for God has the same type of principles. Our families are under attack today. Amen. Culture has redefined what constitutes a family. And in the process, there is a redefinition of what a mother is. And so kids can be challenging, but they're precious gifts from God. The Bible gives timeless principles that can help us as mothers and fathers in building a home to stand on true biblical principles. And so we say thank you, Mom, for making a house a home and standing on the only firm foundation that you can, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our day. We thank you for our time this morning. Lord, as we said, we want to honor and glorify you. And we do that this morning, Lord, through our moms. And so we thank you for them, for we know that they are a gift from you. And so we commit our service to you, Lord, and we just say, have your way, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me give you six principles this morning, and I'll make them quick because I'm kind of getting hungry, and so I know you are too. We want to give all God the glory in everything we do, and we do that by fellowship. And so today's a special day for our mothers, so I promise I won't be trammel winded. So anyway, hey, I love Matt. Come on now. Hey, oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot you're next week. All right, well, that's wonderful. All right, number one, the first thing I want to show you about a godly home is you need to dedicate your homes to God. We need to dedicate our homes to God. Look at verse 1 in Psalm 127. The psalmist writes, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Why must we decide to dedicate our home to God? Because God created the family. He designed the family, and he knows what's best and how it's going to best function. So we ought to do it God's way. The building of a house illustrates the creation of a family, and it points in the right direction of how it should be done. God must be able to inspire our home in order for us to empower and build it effectively for his kingdom. So the question would be this, Mom or Dad, are you trying to build your home in your own strength? Are you doing it in the Lord's? Take heed to the verse 1. The Lord must build the home. You have to turn your life, you have to turn your home over to the master builder. Number two, you got to trust God to provide for your family. Amen? Amen? Listen to verse 2. Psalm 127, verse 2, he says this, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. The point of this verse is this. God never intended for man to work 24/7. Amen. Amen? If God's the one that provides for your family, then do it God's way. Listen, the Sabbath, the man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man to give him a day of rest. Amen? Amen? If we're going to build a family, then we got to make our children, our family, a priority. We've got to prioritize our family. They need our physical presence more than they do a gift presence. Moms and dads, do you need to refocus your time? You may not need to check your calendar. You may need to see what's on your schedule for the year. You need to make family a priority. It's important to God, so it should be important to us. No one ever said on their deathbed, "Oh, I wish I worked one more day before I go." But there's a lot of regrets about what they did and didn't do with family, though. Make family a priority, not work. Number three, recognize children are God's blessing. This is important. Amen. Look at verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3. He says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." I don't have to tell you that in our society, not everybody recognizes children as a blessing. To some folks, they're a hindrance. To some folks, they're a hassle. They're a burden. And so, raising kids aren't easy. Kids can be challenging. But the Bible says that children are a blessing from the Lord. Doesn't matter how many you have. You just need to realize the ones you do are a blessing from God. Amen. Number four. Prepare your children to make a difference. This is vitally important. Look at verse 4 and 5. He says, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate." What's the purpose of arrows? So you can shoot them. I mean, maybe not at stuff, but like we do in Kentucky, just at targets or just out in the air for fun. Arrows are designed to fly. And so here's the idea. You ever heard the expression, "Give your children roots and wings"? It's the idea that you raise them up so that one day that you can launch them out. That's the idea. If your kids are going to make a positive difference, we must make sure that they are aimed properly. And so in teaching our children to make a difference, we as parents need to display both defense and offense. And so here's the idea. Playing defense means that you work to direct your child away from getting into serious trouble, telling them what to avoid. And then working on the offense, we need to raise our children to play the offensive, to learn how to change the world for Christ. Train your child up to make an impact in the world, to count for something in God's kingdom. It's all about kingdom business. And so we need to train up our child in the way they should go so that we can make an impact for Christ. Number five, model godliness in your family. This is probably the most important. Because as Jesus said in John chapter 5, what the Son sees the Father do, the Son does in the same manner. So if you're not modeling godliness, neither will your children. Psalm 128 verse 1 says this, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways." We need to model before our families that true happiness and true fulfillment only comes in a life obedient to Jesus Christ. Amen? If it's not found in a life of obedient to Christ, then what we do here is irrelevant. Billions are searching for happiness in the wrong places. True happiness comes from a relationship with the Creator. We have to communicate this truth. And the only way that we can do that is not by words, but more so by our actions. If we're to model godliness, then we must have a close relationship with God ourselves. And number six, we have to rejoice in God's blessings. Psalm 128, verse 2 through 6 says this, "When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and you may see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be unto Israel." Husbands, fathers, mothers, your wife is a fruitful vine, not only in childbearing, but in all areas of your home. Honor that. Parents, your children are olive shoots. You know what olive shoots do? They produce fruit. In time, they will produce their own fruit. And so with these blessings, we should always live in the proper fear of God. God should always be first. And with those blessings, it will ultimately rest on those who walk in His ways. We will be blessed when we follow obediently to God's way. Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, it shall prosper." In conclusion, in the footsteps of a pilgrim written by Ruth Bell Graham, this was Billy Graham's wife. She began this poem for her mother when she was 19 on Mother's Day in 1940. And she finished it 34 years later when she passed away. Her mother passed away November 8, 1974. And this was her poem. And I give this to you mothers. "As the portrait is unconscious of the master artist's touch, unaware of growing beauty, unaware of changing much, so you have not guessed his working in your life throughout each year, have not seen the growing beauty, have not sensed it, mother dear. We have seen and marveled greatly at the master artist's skill, marveled at the lovely picture, daily growing lovelier still. Watched his brushstrokes change each feature to a likeness of his face, till in you we see the master, feel his presence, glimpse his grace. Pray the fragrance of his presence may through you seem doubly sweet till your years on earth are ended and his portrait is complete." Moms, may you be the godly mother and grandmother that God desires for you to be, following in Jesus' footsteps so that your children, watching your lifestyle, will follow in yours. In the light of these two Psalms, we have a choice to make. And so we can either try to rely on our own feeble resources, build our homes in our own strength, or we can surrender ourselves, our false sense of control, to a loving Father and allow His power to work through our homes. See, surrender is a battle term, and it implies giving up the rights to the conqueror. When an opposing army surrenders, they lay down their arms, and the winners take control from then on. And so surrendering to God is similar in the same way. We surrender to God as a powerful but yet loving Heavenly Father. Our plans, our lives, we surrender to Him. And we set aside everything we want and we seek what He wants. So He gives us His promise. And if you decide to dedicate your home to Him, He will build your home and your family. And He will be your protector throughout your life. And so, as the hymnist wrote, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." So my question to you, Mom, this morning, what is your home built on? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time this morning. We thank you just for the ability to come and give you all the honor and glory for what we do, but also to recognize our mothers this morning. We thank you for them, Lord. They are an integral part of our life and our growth. And so may we have wonderful, godly mothers that exemplify Jesus Christ so that we can have a generation coming up behind us to do the same thing. And so we pray for our mothers. We pray for our children. We pray for our families, Lord. The enemy is working hard to destroy the families. You designed it, you instituted it, and you tell us what's the best way for our family to operate. And Lord, when we submit to you, we have an awesome family that displays the love and beauty of Christ to a lost and dying world. And may we do that in our day today. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.